Okay, I'm convening the meeting. Welcome everyone to the meeting of the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee. And my name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer. And as Treasurer, I run the meeting. So we're going to do an official roll call right now, and this should be fast since we've already done it. Please answer up when you hear your name, Jack DePalma.
Hello?
William Heerwagon.
Yeah, present.
Noel Jameson.
Present.
Pat Logan. R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza. Say hello, Matt. Carolyn McIntyre. Berthold Reimers.
Yeah.
Doreen Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
All right. Something new happening. Let's scroll. Neil Voss.
Here.
Good. Okay, and Michael D.D. White.
Here.
Okay, so
Matt, go off, unmute yourself, Matt.
Is that what he's doing? Okay, we have a quorum no matter what, so let me get to this. All right. First thing we need to do is... First thing we need to do is approve an agenda, and I move that we adopt the following agenda. 1. Call to order 7 p.m. 2. Approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3. Identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4. Excused absences 5 minutes. 5. Treasurer's report 30 minutes. 6. General Manager's report on WBAI's finances, 30 minutes. 7. Set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 8. New business, 9. Adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And let me look and see if there's anybody requesting an excused absence here. The mail coming in. And it's all spam. So I don't have anybody. All right. So the part of this is number 4, excused absences. I'm going to. Well, we'll just having to type things in here. I'm going to make an amendment here. I'm moving that we strike number 4, excused absences.
William objects.
Okay.
All right. The thing is, this we don't have any excused absences.
So you just put none. You don't take it off the agenda. You say you did it.
Yeah, well, then we get into a fight later on if somebody says, oh, I tried to. All right, so you object. I think we should just strike it, and it'll probably work that way. Anybody else on this, on striking number 4, excused absences, that we don't have something really extraneous in there? Okay, nobody else. I guess what we're going to do at this point is...
Hi, Paul.
Yeah. Pat?
Pat's here.
All right. Let me get Pat Logan is here. And save that. Is Carolyn McIntyre here? Is Serene Roberts here? Okay. All right. So, all right. Tell you what, to save time, does anybody object if we just withdraw that? I thought that was going to be a fast thing to speed us up. It's obviously not going to be. Anybody object to withdrawing that? We get the excused absences. There won't be any. We'll just go to the next item. Any objection?
No.
Okay, no objection. Okay. So that's, does anybody need the any further debate, any amendments or anything else on this on this draft agenda? Is there any objection to going to a vote on the motion to adopt the agenda? Hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Okay, so I know we have some folks on here who are not committee members, and so I'm going to explain a thing or two. If you are somebody who is not a member of the committee, you can talk and all that. However, if you want, and you do not have to identify yourself. You do not have to identify yourself. If you, however, want to become a member of the committee, you have to attend 3 meetings in a row. And in that case, you do have to identify yourself, because otherwise we don't know how to, you know, we don't know that you're there. All right? So is there anybody here outside of the people whose names I've already called who are committee members who would like to identify themselves as being on this call?
Yes, I would, since 3 meetings are required, and this would be my first meeting. This is Anita Hawkins, a.k.a. Maat, M-A-A-T.
Anita Hawkins. What was the rest that you said?
I'm known as Maat, M-A-A-T.
M-A-A-T.
That's my handle, as it were.
Okay. All right, well, okay. Anita Hawkins. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none. I'll do this again later on because people do show up in the course of a meeting. Okay, so we've approved the agenda. This next item here is identify timekeeper.
I'll do it, Paul.
Okay, so Jeffrey Stern volunteers to be the timekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey has the exalted office of timekeeper. And, let's see, what else, what is next? Damn it. Too many things at once here. All right, well, now we're at excused absences. There are none, so we're going to go past that.
Okay.
And then the next item is treasurer's report, and the treasurer is here and is about to deliver a report.
Half an hour, right?
Say again?
How much time? You want 20 minutes or half an hour?
Oh, it's 30 minutes. I don't know if we're going to take that much time. And give me a second because I need to...
Okay.
I'm having to type with one hand, and I'm also finding that the things aren't scrolling properly. It looks like it should be scrolling. All right. All right. So, the treasurer's report. Okay, the big good news is that Pacifica has gotten a second paycheck protection program, the PPP money, and it's $1.2 million that is in Pacifica's bank. It's not pending. It's money in the bank, literally. The other good news is that Pacifica has had the first PPP loan from last year forgiven, so that the $1.2 million that we got last year has been turned from a loan into a grant. And the general manager had been writing that WBAI might not make payroll. Well, now BAI and all the other stations will make payroll for the next couple of months. So this is a good thing, because there were a number of stations that were looking at having problems making payroll. And what I'm hoping is other good news. We found out at the January 26th NFC meeting that the Pacifica Affiliates Network is a podcast host, and the Pacifica Affiliate Network director said that any station in the network can use that podcast service right now. So maybe Bertold can tell us about, if he's contacted him about that yet. It has been requested by them that they do that. Let's see.
It's Mario here.
Okay, hold on a second. All right, the interim CFO hadn't been at some of the meetings, but then we got to ask her about the audit, and she is saying that the audits are definitely happening. They are with the auditors, and that's going on. That I am. I keep on asking, because what's happened is that the time it has taken to get the FY19 audit done is longer than the time we have left to get the FY20 audit done. The FY20 audit needs to be done by June 30th. And so, oh boy, it's going to be tight. And the interim CFO figures it can be done, and it's going to get done, and all of that. So, okay, we'll see how that works out. We hope this does work out. Also, we have to get the audits done, in part because, once again, the California Franchise Tax Board is putting Pacifica on notice that our tax-exempt status is in question, because we haven't given them audits lately, and we're still behind. And their deadline was 2 days ago, but they were informed that the FY19 audit is just about ready, and a Pacifica lawyer has contacted the California tax people. I don't have an update on that particular thing. In the bad news department, the monthly income statement for the 3 months ending December 30th, 2020, that's the first quarter of FY21, shows BAI running a loss of about $94,000 compared to a prior year-to-date loss of about $16,000. So that's not so good. It's a 17% drop in income. And I have not heard anything about the big loan that's due on March 31st. So I don't know if there's anything going to happen with that. And we are of course still having a lot of issues regarding the finances of everything, and so it's still a big struggle. It's still a great big struggle, and we're also having difficulties at almost all of the stations. I would say all, because although KPFA does indeed have a better financial situation than the other stations, if you look at it, it's kind of thin, especially given how many people are employed there. So you got to look at that and say, oh my, I wonder how this is going to work out. So that's what's happening right there. Let's see. Anything else? All right. There have been delays with the audit, and then somebody died, a relative died for somebody at NETA, so we have that. And I think that's pretty much the treasurer's report at this moment. And is there any discussion or questions or anything like that for the treasurer's report?
Yeah, William.
Button in.
Yeah.
Hearing you. Wait a minute.
William, go ahead.
Thank you. I'd just like to point out that I guess it was a National Finance Committee meeting, but I'm not positive, that someone from KPFA was pointing out how somehow this misinformation about the invasion in October of 2019, I think it was, when they compare 2019, the report you were just talking about for the last, for the first quarter, ending December 31st this year, I mean last year, excuse me, that we, the BAI made it the same, almost the same amount of money this year as last year, and saying that that proves that the invasion didn't cause us any problems. Well, I think it proves exactly the opposite, that since we obviously lost chance to raise money in 2019, that therefore we did a lot better in 2020, raising money, I think. Am I missing something? I don't know. I don't get it.
No, I mean, if you listen to the thing, you heard that James Sagerton and I were both disagreeing with that particular person. And, yeah, it's obvious that we took a big hit in October of 2019. It was, you know, no way around it. So, yes,
okay.
we did have that little back and forth there. These things happen in the NFC sometimes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody else have any questions or any other stuff for the Treasurer's Report?
Yes, Paul, this is Noel. I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Could you give the figures for the first PPP loan and the second again, please?
Yeah, they're both $1.2 million.
And one has been converted into a grant or and is forgiven, and the second one, we're using that for what purpose again, please?
Payroll. It's
payroll.
Required to be used for payroll and related things. For instance, you can use it for payroll and also for paying your payroll taxes.
And the loan that's coming due, that's the bridge loan that the terms and conditions are somewhat nebulous?
Yeah, the big loan is March 31st, and I don't have information on that.
And that's in an amount in excess of $1 million, is that correct?
That's an amount of, I believe, you know, as far as I can tell, approximately $3.2 million.
Oh, boy. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Any further questions or comments or anything on the Treasurer's Report?
Serene with a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So I think at KPFA's last LSB meeting, which was, they meet every other month. We are in February. So it was January. The directors reported that the PND had until the 20-something April to make to provide the lender with some sort of documentation about the intention about the less than $3.2 million. So I'm wondering whether you know what that's about.
Well, a lot of things seem to get said at KPFA LSB meetings, and none of us has any real input into that. I know that sometimes things come out of some people at KPFA that others of us are not going to agree with, and that seem to be at variance with what some of us would call facts. You'll notice that some of the people are trying to hijack Pacifica through the bylaws come from KPFA, and they certainly have an interesting spin on how things should work and what good ideas are, what's a good idea and what's a bad idea. So I just don't know what they're saying in there. I have not had new information on the big loan for, months now. So I can't comment on whatever people at KPFA are reporting about.
Okay.
Anybody else for anything on the Treasurer's Report? If not,
how about... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Bertold, you have a question?
Yeah, I'd like to drill down on the audit. How do you feel about that? I mean, you know, the transparency of information. When would you, if you were a betting man person, would you bet that would be available? Any sense of that, you know?
All right. If you read the treasurer's report, you'll notice that I'm concerned about this. Again, as I said before, the amount of time left to get the FY20 audit done is less than the amount of time the FY19 audit took. And the FY18 audit took a huge amount of time to get done. So I am very concerned about this. However, I know that sometimes when people are under the gun, they manage to get things done more quickly than if they think they've got time. So maybe when people say, geez, we've got like 6 weeks to get this completely done, they'll really kick into high gear. One of the issues is, of course, that not everybody in Pacifica is all that cooperative, apparently, and NEDA does not want to name names or anything, so we don't know who that might be. But the thing is, it's up in the air, and I'm not going to bet on this either way. I'm certainly hoping that they get the whole damn thing done by June 30th, and that'll be good for a variety of reasons, including not just the CPB, but also the California tax people.
Right. Because
you remember some years ago they were threatening to, shut down Pacifica's tax-exempt status, which would be a death knell, but we managed to get an audit in and satisfied them. So there's that. Yes, I heard somebody else.
This is Jack DePalma. Compared to 19 to 20, compared to 20 to 21, is that the comparison you're making?
I mean,
it took them an awful long time. You said to do 18.
Oh, the audit.
Because
yes.
19, and then maybe 20 might be more rapid because they have more access to what's being played with or what's being done. I understand that there's not transparency on one station or other stations in another place, maybe. But is it possible that they took a long time on 18 because the money was such in a mess?
Well, that's true. It was. They did have difficulties, which we've reported on, regarding the getting cooperation.
Right.
And through FY19, the FY19 audit, things are not 100% in that area either. So yes, they are having to. They're having to sort of pull teeth. It sounds like. But
maybe because they've already pulled some of these teeth. I don't want to, tell you. I know the dentist because I do know the dentist. So, but 20 might be easier. Might be clearer. Might be straightforward.
This
or
is possible.
Wrong?
The interim CFO seems to be of that opinion.
Okay.
But he was of that opinion for the FY19 audit, and it was faster than the FY18 audit. But the FY18 audit was took forever, and it's unfortunate that we weren't able to get the FY19 audit done in time last year, because if we had gotten that done, we'd have been getting CPB money by now.
Your expertise
is
amazing
possible.
On this, Arpal. One more question.
The
failure to get 18, how many years was that before they had not done that, where they were getting audits previous? Because I remember in 14 they stopped doing audits?
Yeah, there were issues happening, and the FY13 audit, I think, took a while then, and they stopped them. They weren't doing audits for a while, and then people said, geez, we got to do audits. And so audits started happening. I mean, there's a whole history of this, and I don't want to be specific about it because I don't have it right in front of me, but yeah, Pacifica didn't do audits for some years there, which is why the California tax people started getting very pointed about some of these things.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I hear Serene Roberts. Does anybody who has not asked a question want to ask a question? Hearing none. Serene Roberts, go ahead.
So in response to, excuse me, to what Berthel asked, I've heard Anita Sims, who's our ICFO from NIDA, say about NIDA that they expect this audit, the 20 audit, to be much easier to go through because they came in under contract, I think it was September 18, and for 3 months our computers weren't talking to their computers, so nothing was happening. And then there were other issues. But she feels that because they have been much more in control of the processes, both in terms of the stations that they cover for, that, you know, they provide in-depth services for, and the other three stations, that they are in a better position to get the information organized, but also to get it to the auditor in a timely manner. So, yes, Berthel, it could very well be that this thing works.
It is a possibility. However, again, we heard that for the FY19 audit, and they ran into difficulties of the cooperational nature. Also, some of the issues, which are not purely cooperational, are that not that the computers won't talk to each other, but that there are different accounting platforms being used. Pacifica has been using the Great Plains software for years and years. It actually has a different name, but Pacifica got it many years ago, and then the company was bought by Microsoft, and the name of the software was changed, but Pacifica was still using the old Great Plains software. So that's still in use at a number of stations. And what NETA would like would be for everybody to be on their system, which is MAS 500. And that's how they run everything. They're experts at it, and they're really, really good at that, and they can whip the information around. This also relates to the stations having been given scanners. And the stations are supposed to scan in their financial information, and that goes right to NETA. And they have things set up so that they can take the information right out of the scan and put it into their MAS 500 system, and it works out. Now, WBAI and WPFW do not have business managers, so BAI and PFW both do the thing where they scan it in. It goes right into NETA's MAS 500 platform, and the information is there. Other stations have business managers, and that's where we end up with people asking business managers for information and maybe not getting it. So, that's how that is going there. And NETA has at times been saying it would be really nice if everybody would do the scanning in stuff. And we've passed some motions about that. And I think that's going to improve. And it is possible that FY20 could go faster than FY19. Maybe. We hope. Okay. Anybody have any further questions or comments on the Treasurer's Report? Okay. Hearing none, the next agenda item is the General Manager's Report on WBAI's Finances. Berthold, it's yours.
Oh, Paul, did you get me? Excuse me, Mario, you put me down?
Yeah, I have you down.
All right, thank you.
You have the floor.
Yeah, I heard you. Well, I just kind of sent you the WBAI's account AP aging summary. So you can forward it to the group.
You just sent that?
Changed, except that we owe 2 months of four times square. So the fact that we're not making the same payroll is going to help us catch up with that. So then once
all
we catch
right.
up
hold
with
on
that.
A minute. Hold on a minute, please, Berthold. I'm trying to get this. You sent this during the meeting, right?
Yeah, just send it right now. Just
and
now,
you like, sent it to me personally. You didn't send it to the group by the mailing list that you're a part of. Okay, let me forward this right now. 1 minute. Okay, I have just forwarded this to the whole committee here, and let's see now. You know, Bertolt, sending these things out earlier would be good. You sent this out at 7:40 p.m. That's 2 minutes ago.
Yeah,
that's not a good way to do things, Bertolt. You got to send these things out so that we can see them ahead of time, not while you're trying to tell us something, because that makes it so that we can't look at it.
No,
today is the
so for the record.
All right, go ahead, Bertolt.
So for the record, today, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and yesterday from 9:30 to 5:30, we were in full session with the course and, with Allegiance, getting trained and practicing how to, you know, navigate the new system. As I was saying, the accounts payable, the thing that's outstanding here is that we owe 2 months of four Times Square, and then we're catching up on the, you know, the most recent outstanding payroll and healthcare bill back. So the payroll is like $3,127. So we will be catching up and paying that off by next payroll session. You know, as usual, we owe Cygnus, the call center. That's 3 months. We will be paying them probably $9,000 and then owe them the $5,400, which is the February bill. And everything else is you know, is practically the same. You know, Pacific Ridge Archives, Pacific National Office, accrued pension, long-term things are still there, outstanding. So that's that for accounts payable. Our profit and loss, I from what you were saying, I was a bit annoyed at the fact that, you know, we have, you know, these big changes in our profit and loss. And then that has to do with the fact that in the past, we used to do a big fund drive in October and another huge one in December. So in October, we used to do 37 days or something like that, all the way to the middle of November. And then in December, do another 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, 2 or 3 weeks. So obviously, that jacked up our revenue. But I think that the revenue has to be looked over a longer period of time, like over 6 months or 9 months. As you can see in the profit and loss, that's in one of the attachments that I sent you. Obviously, in October 2019, you know, after the coup, because of the coup, one, you were made $46,000.
All right, could you tell us, for those of us who actually have it in front of us, since you only sent it out a few minutes ago, could you tell us what the file name is you're talking about right now?
Profit and loss.
Profit and loss. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay. I can't.
Go ahead.
Okay. So if you see in column B, row 8, says listener support is 46,000, is because that was October 2019 coup. That affected us. Usually in October, we do make like $200,000 and change. And then in December, which again is when we have a big fund drive, we made a $147,000. So now how were those two fund drives affected? Well, you know, obviously the October one is obvious. And then by the time we came back, and we had to settle. We didn't do, you know, the Christmas outreach and all of that kind of stuff. You know, so normally that would generate a lot more money so that we can carry through until we get to February. If you compare that now to what we are currently doing, we are doing this thing, we are like carrying this thing more steadily. And then in January was also very steady. I didn't do the January 2020, but if you look at the January 2020 versus the January 2021, you would see like a huge difference because in January 2020, 2020, we did not really generate much money. It was trickling down from the December drive. So also, if you look take a good look, Crafts Fair is a special event at David Rothenberg. That's the $27,000 that we have lost because obviously COVID, there are no events going on, nothing going on. And also any special events that's part of the listener support, we don't have that this year. We don't have that. So
what did you say about January?
It's not here. I'm going to run that for you and I'll send it to you again. But like, if you look at January 2020 versus January 2021, it might show that January 2020 was so much less than our January 2021 because in January 2020 we don't have a fund drive, and in January 2021 we have this thing going on a regular basis.
Yeah, Bertolt, was that a residual from what happened in October, November?
Wait, hold on, folks. Hold on. Save the questions for later. I'm trying to make it so that we can all be on the same page here.
Yeah.
We only just got this thing. All right, so January is something you haven't sent us and we can't look at independently, all right?
Yeah.
And you're saying it's a lot better than January of 20.
62 versus 111. So $40,000 difference. I just wanted to emphasize that. However, what I have to say is that it's really exhausting, you know, the 52-week stuff for Linda and I. It's very, creates a lot of stress, you know, between Linda and I and so forth and so on because we are always working. We are always working with the programming schedule, the schedule, the weekly schedule, the regular schedule, and the fund drive schedule. You know, even though, you know, it's very predictable, a lot predictable, but, you know, obviously there are variations in the things that happen. But, you know, everybody knows when they're supposed to be preempted, and those preemptions pass. Now, we have to go and figure out what to put in there as far as premiums regularly, daily, weekly. So that is very stressful, and the lack of premium makes it even more stressful. I wanted to address those who, you know, are clamming in the back, talking about, you know, the 35-day schedule was a lot better. There's nothing better or worse. If you don't have premium, you still have issues. And if you have a 35-day where you're supposed to make a big chunk of money to carry you for another 2 months, it's even more stressful and it's even worse when you don't have premium. Now that you don't have premium, you can still work it out. You know, you may not have some premium for a few days, and then you're working out to get some premium. But when you're doing the 35 days straight, and you're supposed to be making $8,000 a day as opposed to, like, $3,000, you know, every time you do not have premiums or you're not successful in one day or days, you know, you are falling way behind. And so the number one issue is premium, Whenever we have new premiums, we do fine. You know, like, you know, Chris Blasen just came up with two new premiums. You know, we already at 2,400 today. You know, so that's the variant. That's what we have to work on. That's what we as a, you know, station have to figure out. You know, new premiums, money. You know, I mean, obviously there are premiums that bomb, but in general, new premiums means money, and then we're doing fine. With that said, this month, the first 15 days of the month have been really awful. We're behind $20,000 about. No premiums, no new premiums. You know, we're playing some of Gary Noll stuff, blah, blah, blah. We also took 3 days off from the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of February since we had a very aggressive January. And so now we are aggressively, again, pitching and averaging about $3,000 a day in the past 3 days, 2 days, 3 days. Mm-hmm. And so that's the paradigm, whatever it is you call it, that we face. And that's the big hill. Besides that, we are doing fairly well. Our BI Buddy is, as you can see, that the profit and loss is maintaining $17,000-$18,000 a month. You know, we're close to 1,300 individual BI Buddy members. In the training with Allegiance, they were able to run that report 2 seconds, which is so refreshing, you know. So this is showing that we are averaging about $14 per buddy per month. I sent you also outstanding, you know, money in the bank. It's $7,000.
I'm sorry, right now. Point of personal privilege?
Yes.
Can you ask somebody who's having some difficulty to mute? It's not coming from Berthold's line.
Yeah, I'm hearing somebody doing something. If you're moving around or something, please mute. It's what is it here? It's, let me look. It's I think it's pound mute on this. If pound mute doesn't work, just go to star six. Star 6 or pound 6. One of those two will mute you, and then we can all hear what's going on. Okay,
yeah,
please continue,
also,
Berthold.
Yeah, and also unmute. Mute and unmute. I think it's Star 6. Yeah, thank you, Serene, and kind of got me another idea that I forgot to mention. Concerning the premium and new premium and so forth and so on, so there was some of, like, usually we go back and forth between Christine and and Gary, you know, to make a big chunk of the month premium. So we try to not, you know, to give a little variety. This month, beginning of the month, Gary Knowles had ran out of supplies. So he didn't have any premiums stock or in the foreseeable future. So some of the things that we knew would make money, we could not play because we didn't know if he was going to have the supply anytime soon. So that also affected the first 15 days of February. I mentioned the BI Buddy. I sent you the thing that's the WBI Chase. So we're about $7,000 in the bank right now. And then my objective right now is to bring that up to $15,000 very soon. Normally that would take another 2 days between the BI Buddies and 2 days of 3,500 a day, and then we average 89% fulfillment rate, by the way, which is good because that gives us a little cushion on the budget. Because on the budget, I think upward we have 79.2%, and then we're averaging like 89% fulfillment rate. So that, you know, like any shortfall in cash coming in, that helps us a little bit. So hopefully within the next 4 days, we will generate enough cash to at least pay one of the four Times Square bills. That's the objective. Also, in December and January, I did purchased a lot of premiums, processed a lot of premiums. We have a bunch of them at the station still ready to be shipped. So that cost us some money. And that is that was important. So that's why we're a little short also, because I felt that it was more important to do that than to keep a chunk of extra money for payroll, because we had made January 31st payroll very early in January. January like 24th. So we figured we were going to generate a lot more cash between February 1st and February 15th, and that did not happen. So that's where we are. You know, we are pushing ahead. Right now we have two brand new premiums for Kristen Blasdell that are making money. A little disappointed that Black History Month, I mean, we played some Paul Robeson, you know, MLK, Malcolm X, and stuff like that, some of Mimi's stuff. But, we really lack the power, and I reach out to the CIA and I ask a few people to do a few things on Black History. But, you know, we don't have any real planning going on. You know, we're going from day to day. We could do probably a one-day special, but, like, to plan the month or the next 2 months, it's very difficult. So that's a little disappointing. That's about it. I think it would be best for you to ask me questions. Yes.
All right, Berthold. A couple of things here, some of which, first of all, you really need to send these things out. You know, a couple of days before the meeting would be good. And sending it out 40 minutes after the meeting is supposed to start, you know, now everybody's scrambling and we can't necessarily find the stuff you're talking about because we got to say, where is it and all of this. So, you know, you can't... I hope that next time you will send it out ahead of the meeting and not a minute ahead of the meeting. All right. Before we get into some of the stuff you covered, in the past couple of weeks here, you've sent out to staff an email saying that we're, quote, approaching the end, unquote, of the 52 weeks thing. And, in fact, the 52 weeks started in July. And so when you were saying we were approaching the end, we were at the halfway point. And so what is that about? Are you deciding that you're going to change the 52 weeks thing and about at the halfway point and do something else or what?
No, I probably didn't get to it yet on Saturdays and Sundays. Basically, what I did is it's 52 weeks, right? It's 1 year 52 week schedule. So when I started, it was in the middle of the year. So what I did is I spent a couple of weeks working on this and then created the 52 weeks from January to December. You know, so it was a continuation of what we had, going along with that and running it up to December. So then that's what I created so that we have the whole 2021 set. And then I've been sending the schedule, unique schedule to every single producer show. I start Monday, you know, Monday 9 a.m., Law and Disorder, so I'm going down the line. And so I think I am at the end of Thursday, beginning of Friday. So you'll be getting your email that really sends it and says, hello, this is the new 52-week schedule that starts from January to present to December 2021. So that way we can have, 52 weeks. A year, 52 weeks, 2021, 2022. So you have the whole schedule there.
All right, so there are some changes, but you're not showing them to everybody at once. You're sending changes to individual producers?
Well, producers have a hard time understanding the schedule, so
what I usually
yeah,
do.
Yeah, those
I,
poor producers can't understand scheduling. Berthold.
I'm not finished answering that. Producers have a hard time understanding the scheduling, though. So what I do is I copy that's the part that addresses their specific schedule. And then I paste it transversely so that they are vertical instead of horizontal, because it's such a pain to scroll to the right instead of just going up and down. So then once I do that, it shows week one, week two, the date, and then the yellow preempted, so that it's easier for each producer to see and they can have it as a reference, as opposed to going to the whole big Monday to Friday, like 52 weeks. A monster document, you know, which is actually in Google. In this one, I just put it in an Excel spreadsheet so they can manipulate and play with it.
Well, so this means that how is the new 52-week schedule differing from the 52-week schedule you had previously put out? What's the big difference?
The difference is from January 2021 to December 2021, as opposed to August 2020 to
July.
So
no inherent changes, you're saying?
No inherent changes.
Then it doesn't seem... All right, that seems a little interesting there. So saying we're approaching the end of 52 weeks is kind of... has to be taken in a certain odd way, I guess, because it's going to keep on going. Another thing,
yeah.
The interim program director has sent out an email to the staff saying that you had told her that the station was in such bad financial situation that it was 2 weeks. We were 2 weeks away from shutting down. And is that the case?
All right, so... allow me some, allow me to answer that one with discretion. I have a lot of personal and private exchanges with the program director. This is not one of those exchanges I wanted her to put out there. My employees and my coworkers and management, you know, we have different ways of dealing with each other. Sometimes I lose focus on certain things because there are so many different things I'm doing. So I have different ways of keeping people in, bringing people back in focus. So that, because obviously... obviously, $26,000 short of our goal in 15 days is pretty substantial. So, which is a clear sign that we were not focusing on what we were supposed to be focused. So, I tried to get my staff, my program director to focus and pay attention, and to give priority to certain things. That is not how I would have sent that email, because that email is almost like crying wolf. And I heard that Gary Noll mentioned that he had a private conversation with me where I told him that, which is not true. It's unfortunate because this is very private. And, when there's a serious problem of shutting down, I would tell the I as the general manager, it would be my responsibility to tell everyone, but it was important to let people know that they need to focus and just not leave this up to me to do, including the producers. And I've heard producers going and more forcefully pushing, telling people to support the station. That should be done regularly. So that's what happened. We're not on the brink of disaster. We are always on that brink of disaster. If that's the case, every 15 days I'm figuring out how I'm going to make payroll. And every 30 days I'm figuring out how I'm going to make healthcare and pay for Times Square, so and the rent. So
you know, for me, we're always on the brink. But, you know, this is not something that I wanted to convey to everyone that way.
All right, so what we're seeing is a management style here that got loose. All right. There's another thing you said up here that's a little bit concerning to me. You're saying that you didn't want to leave a bunch of money in the bank, so you got premiums, and you didn't want to leave it in the bank just so you could make payroll. And, you know, that's... Payroll is a legally required thing. Premiums are not. If you were to miss payroll and have to answer to the people who enforce this type of thing, you would be in a little problem there if you told them, "Oh, I spent the payroll money on something else." So I hope you will not do that in the future. But right now, you don't have to worry about payroll, right? We've got the payroll protection loan. And so payroll is covered for the next 2 months, right?
Well, thank you for pointing that out so that I can clarify. You know, obviously, I'm managing the money, and I cannot just, you know, prepare to pay payroll and pay nothing else. You know, if you don't pay the tower rent, you know, they're going to shut us down. If you don't pay the rent, they're going to kick us out. If we don't pay time on the cable, even if it's under $900, after 2 months, you know, they shut you down, and so you don't have the radio. So it's a delicate balancing act. If you don't send out premium, a lot of listeners, you know, say, well, you know, I'm not buying any damn premium until you send me my outstanding premium. So, you know, we have to balance that out. So what I meant is that, you know, premium have been, you know, we've been processing as many premium as we can, you know, small amount and stuff like that, but it came to a point where we needed to send a chunk of premiums out. And then I was not going to just leave $15,000 there without taking a chunk of that to pay premium so that to send them to the listeners so that they can buy more premium. There was we were at a very good situation. You know, we were in January 20, like usually you have to, you know, fund your payroll like 4 or 5 days before the due date of 31st. That we had our money ready. We sent it out like January 22nd. So we were doing very well. So which means that I predicted that we made, you know, plenty of money in between.
Hold on a second. Would people who are bouncing things around or whatever this is, please mute themselves? Because we can really hear you. Okay. Go ahead, Bertold.
William for the stack after.
Yeah, hold on.
So, to make a long story short, making $600 per day for 3 days for a total of $1,200 as opposed to $3,500, which accounts to $10,500, makes a big difference in your projection. And that's what happened. What happened is actually we made $1,400 February 1st, $1,300 February 2nd, $12 February 3rd, $3,000 February 4th, $800 February 5th. So if you have to think about this now, $12 February the 3rd, $800 February the 6th, $600 February the 7th. Those 3 days alone, $600 again February the 9th. You know, we're supposed to have the money available by the 11th or the 12th to fund the 15th. Oh. And we get another $700 on February the 11th. So between those 3 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, we were short We were short $13,000 of revenue. And that would have been more than enough for payroll, because we did send more than half of the payroll money. And then we would have covered the rest. It was just not, it would have covered the rest after the 15th. But since we had the PPP loan, they took that money and they applied it to central service or other things.
All right. So you're using the PPP. That's good. Okay. Time has been called by the timekeeper.
Yeah, William, extend for 5 minutes. I need to talk.
Okay. A motion has been made to extend this item. 5 minutes. Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes?
Can we just extend
it
for
2.5 minutes? And Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 2012.
Okay.
All right. Here, Wagon, you had a question?
Yes. On the other end of fundraising and paying bills, could you, or do you, Bertold, report out now on how much money is raised and how do you do that? And then I have a follow-up question.
Can you be a little more specific, like details, generals, or?
Well, okay, I'll just ask my final question. I would like to see, and I know there are other people who would also like to see, a program-by-program report out of how much is raised every day, every week, and send that to the Finance Committee and the LSB. We used to get things like that.
Okay. I thought that's what you were asking. That is not possible because we are short of full staff, Andrea. And even when Andrea was around, that report was always challenged for lack of accuracy, because the way that report works is we are monitoring the day 24/7 just about, and then during the day we run the queries on each premium to see how many players we got and multiply that by the amount of the individual rates, so we plug in into the spreadsheet. And so that's not going to be possible. We don't have the staff, and it's not accurate. Second, that sheet is, as I shared with people before, that sheet has become a different animal. That sheet has become a working sheet where Linda and I are giving instruction to the staff on an hourly basis on what to do. So it's big and the sheet has become bigger and messier.
Mario, to the stack.
I will send you a copy to show you what I mean. What I can send you, like right now, is what I did. I looked at, I wanted to know what we were doing, and so I ran the Volusion report. That showed us how much money we are bringing in per day, you know. And so I took that report, and I took that report, and then I ran it by I ran it and I cleaned it up, but it does not have specific. I do have specific on how much money Kristen Blasdell bought us in January, which was $26,000. Gary, I think, $12,000, and then Mimi, $5,000. I can look at specific shows and premiums, but I cannot do this like comprehensively for the whole thing. However, the new system that we have, you'll be able to just click on some on a few things once we know what we're doing, and then you will get that report, which is very exciting, to tell you the truth.
Michael,
so we'll
get.
Hold on, folks. All right, so here, Wagon, you're done there. I heard Mario.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I don't accept that answer from Bertold because he doesn't have to do it. The list comes hourly from the pledge center, the 516, how much you made per hour. There should be a list on what day and how much per hour. That's totally reasonable, and it actually, if it's not being done, somebody better overhaul something really fast, and somebody should get in trouble. Now, what we would do is you take that list, and then you just go to the archives, and you just look at the numbers that came in that hour and compare it to who was on in the at that hour. So we would do the work. So all you have to do is get us the list of what you make per hour every day. Even on, if there was no premium that day, if people call in and pledged, I'm pretty sure we should get that too. So how much is the station? What here Wagon is saying is, what
time?
What? I'm finishing up. One second.
Okay, finish up.
Okay,
and then
I don't think that was
time.
2 minutes. That was not 2 minutes. So that was not 2 minutes.
The time
okay,
for the
so,
item or the agenda item has
oh,
run out.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Time
so I am not a member, but I'm put up to the group to pass a motion that we get that list from 516, and then that's how we can get that those numbers.
Okay. How many? Oh boy, I'm getting an echo.
Well, can I make a motion?
Well, hold on a second. How many people want to ask a question on the general manager's report?
Serene.
I heard a voice.
I said Michael White to the stack.
Michael White. And Mario still wants to go on. All right. If anybody wants to make a motion, and here Wagon wants to, that's three people.
And Serene Roberts.
That's
did you
four
not hear
people.
Me?
And the general manager will probably have to answer. So does somebody want to make a motion to extend for some set amount of time?
James. James? Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to extend for 10 minutes, and I'd also like to be on the deck.